Good morning. Welcome to this Friday EMP. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. 1 to 13. So after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would show us today that you could do so much with so little. And God, we just ask that as we offer up just a short time this morning, God, I pray that you'd take the prayers offered in this place and multiply it to do incredible things for your kingdom. God, we thank you for your word. As we meditate on it today, God, let it be a part of the fiber of our being. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For many of us, this is, of course, a familiar story. And, you know, it's quite a miracle. And you find something that you don't quite expect. And so, the story opens where Jesus had a long time of ministry, and he's just really tired and exhausted from his travels, and so he's looking for some rest and relaxation, and so he wants to get away from it all. And then after going and trying to find some rest, not only does one person come, but multitudes, crowds of people. And I don't know about you, but you know, after a long day, you know, trying to deal with one person is you know, sort of a struggle, but having to deal with hundreds and thousands of people, I can imagine to be just quite aggravating at times. But you notice Jesus here doesn't get frustrated or impatient, and he doesn't try to avoid the crowd or just assume someone else deal with it. You know, he didn't get his disciples, his assistants to, "You guys go deal with this problem and things." And so we understand the miracle. You know, they're hungry and they get fed, and you know, we go, "Yay, God! You know, great job, God!" and things like that. And for many of us, that's the end of the story. I look at that, and personally, I wish that's how God would sort of handle my life. You know, whenever I have problems or situations or I'm in a jam, it's like, "Okay, God, you know, just do your thing," and then he does it, and it's like, "Yay, God!" and then I can continue with my life. I remember, you know, when I was a teenager, I've always assumed that I was a very good driver, you know, because I'm not wild or reckless or anything. And then I went back and I tried to think, okay, how many tickets and how many accidents did I have? When I counted back to all my accidents and tickets, I had 3 car accidents and I had like 2 speeding tickets. And I was like, well, I mean, based on that evidence, you know, I'm not a very good driver at all. And so I remember one time I was driving with my mom in the other seat, and you know, I was driving, and then I was looking over at the left side of the road, and the left side of the road there's a huge accident. You know, it was just like you know, it was just amazing. It was like 4 or 5 car accident. You know, it was lots of damage and things like that. And I was driving, I was looking at accidents, like, oh my goodness, what a bad accident! Boom. All of a sudden, I rear-ended the car in front of me, and you know, I was thinking, "Oh man, you know, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to pay for this? You know, do we have insurance? You know, all these things of all the things that you know go through your mind when you know, you have a car accident. You know, all the and when I was a teenager, you know, Immediately, I was thinking, oh, you know, mom and dad will bail me out, you know, and everything will be fine. And then as you become an adult, those things you have to take care of yourself. And it's like, man, it's good to be a kid. You know, I look at our son Elijah, and essentially, you know, anything that he does, myself and my wife, we can just clean up after him. We can, you know, we can just take care of the situation, you know, because of his age. And so it's easy for us to do. And so, you know, when he's tired, he gets to go in a stroller, you know, and it's like, man, I look at that and what a life that is. You know, it's just, that's the best, you know, because mommy and daddy, we can take care of everything, you know. And I think in our walk with God, that would be great. That's how I would want to. And there are many times that God definitely does that. But there's something interesting that I want to look at in the scripture here. In verse 5, you know the situation. Jesus lifting his eyes, seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, he said, "Where are we to buy bread?" He says, "Where are we to buy bread?" And that's an interesting thing because he's asking Philip and he's asking the group. He's like, where are we going to do it? How are we going to handle this? It's not Jesus, I'm going to take care of it by myself. I'm going to do everything for you. Where are we going to buy this bread? And, you know, when people are going through difficult times, when there's a sort of a crisis, when there's struggle, when there's a situation that's hard to handle, you know, when you see sort of, you know, human trafficking and you see the poverty and you see injustice and you see your neighbor going through a personal crisis, when there's a financial crisis, you know, all throughout Asia and throughout the Western world, and we're wondering, God, where are you? Why, God, why are you silent? It's not a matter of God necessarily being silent or being absent. Maybe the question that he's asking you, without you hearing it, is, well, what are we going to do about this situation? What are we going to do about poverty? What are we going to do about trafficking? What are we going to do? I mean, if you think of those issues and those struggles, I mean, it's just overwhelming. You know, what are we going to do about homelessness? Oh, but God, it's just too big of a situation. You know, of course, there's nothing I could do. I mean, I could do, you know, as much as I can, it wouldn't even put a dent into the problem or situation. It won't solve anything. I can't do much. And I know, you know, it seems frustrating. It feels incredibly frustrating because this problem becomes so personal because we have a friend or we have a relationship or we know people that are going through tremendous struggles during those things. And it just seems like, God, you know, don't you care? Don't you care about the prostitution? Don't you care about the sin in the lives? Don't you care about families being torn apart? Don't you care? What are you going to do about it, God? God, I'm waiting. What are you going to do about this situation? In fact, we come to morning prayer because, you know, many of us are in a difficult situation or there's an overwhelming thing that we just can't handle, and so we just need God to intervene. And so we come to morning prayer, and the focus of our prayers is, God, what are you going to do about it? God, help me. And as the disciples are in this situation, I wonder if maybe the answer, as we come to him in prayer, his response back is, well, what are we going to do about it? I find that God's response in many things, in another sort of version of this story, he makes the disciples, he goes, you go feed them. It's like, but I can't. And God says, I know. That's why we are going to do it together. And so when Jesus asked Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? Philip answers, well, it's going to take almost a year's worth of wages to feed all those people, and it's not even going to be enough. In other words, his response is, Jesus, there is simply nothing I can do. You know, I've done the cost-benefit analysis. I've done all the counter arguments. I've explored all the possibilities, and basically the conclusion is there's nothing we can do. There's just too many people, and we don't have enough money. You know, surely we can't finance this incredible project. We can't do it. There's nothing we can do. And Philip is skeptical, and he, rightly so. I mean, there's thousands of people, and disciples had little to no resources. So it doesn't take a PhD to figure out that there's no way this crowd is going to get any food. And so Philip's skeptical, and rightly so. And how quickly does our skepticism to certain projects turn into cynicism? Because all we see with our eyes is the lack, is the lack of resources, and we can only see what cannot be done. Our eyes only focuses on what cannot be done. And so we are sort of stuck in our minds thinking there's nothing I can do. I arrived at SP after sort of the meat of the Vision Fund drive, and you know, if you think of the numbers needed for this space and things like that, it's overwhelming. And if you think of SP 2.0, if you're familiar with the terminology, this is 1.5, and we're looking for 2.0 because we believe God is going to do great things through SP, and He's called us to do great things in Hong Kong. But if you just look at the numbers, it's like this is impossible. We have, other sort of vision funds for other countries that we're currently supporting without going into details. And if you think about it, it's just virtually impossible. And so you look at the situation thinking, well, it just cannot be done. But as you look at Jesus' sort of heart, he says to Philip, he says, what are we going to buy? Knowing, and he's testing Philip because he already knows what he's going to do. He's going to do it with or without Philip. He's going to do it. And he already knows what he's going to do. But he's just asking Philip to sort of test him, to test him in terms of, will you trust me? Do you trust me? And sometimes the question is, you know, inside of us, it's like, there's what can I do for this huge situation, this huge issue? I mean, how can I make a difference in other people's family when I have hardly time for my own family? How do I make a difference in church? You know, how can I help take care of other people's stuff when I can't even take care of my own stuff? You know, remember in this story, Jesus knew what he's going to do, but he just wants to see what Philip's response is. And so the actual point of Jesus feeding the crowd is really seeing the heart of the disciples and to test their faith. And so you notice this, Andrew finds this little kid and he says, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves is actually sort of the cheapest kind of bread. And I was just, for the sake of illustration, I was trying to think examples of here in Hong Kong, you know, which has good bread and which has bad bread. And unfortunately, I'm not too familiar with Hong Kong enough to know which, you know, stores have good bread, and which, but in your own mind, make your own illustration. Oh, yeah, this place has great bread, and this place is the worst bread, you know. So whatever place has the worst bread, that's kind of the bread that they're using, okay? So just make up your own illustration. And so 5 bread and 2 small fish. Obviously, that's not going to, that's, you know, most people, including us, would laugh at that, you know. Can you imagine sort of in your meetings, someone gave that sort of suggestion. It wouldn't take any time for people to say, no, that's not going to work. You know, it wouldn't take any time. You wouldn't pray about it. See, we know the story, so we're like, wow, brilliant. 5, you know, loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's a brilliant idea. But if that was in your board meetings, that would got shut down right away. It's like, dude, don't even bring that up. That's ridiculous. Don't even consider that. That's, you know, just actually leave the room. That's a horrible suggestion, you know. But by this little that the boy brought, Jesus, was able to take something that was not that much, and he's able to do something powerful with it. And so what happened? The crowds are fed, needs get met, and there's more than enough. And so now the question that obviously we have dealt with is, what do you have to give? What can you give to make a difference? Many of us say, well, we don't have time. And that's probably true, actually definitely true. But maybe you can give 1 hour extra a week in leading either small group or helping out in Noah's Ark or welcoming team. you know. Or maybe you can help out with the youth group one hour a week. Maybe you can help out with local outreach 1 hour a week. You know, and your life can make all of the difference if you're willing to take that. And as I think from the perspective of the boy, and I don't know what the boy is thinking, but I'm just thinking, and I want to ask us this question, if I can ask Yvain, if you're ready, if you can come up. Do you think this little boy regretted his decision to give what he had? Do you think he was struggling? It's like, oh, should I give it to Jesus or not? You know, it's just like, this is my lunch, but, you know, everyone's hungry. I want to do something. And obviously this is not going to do the job, but I'll give it anyway. Do you think he regretted his decision? Do you think he looked back wishing that he held on to his fish and his barley bread? Do you think this little boy would have traded what he just saw in front of his eyes, what he learned about God, what he experienced in the presence of Jesus for any amount of food that he had? Do you think he would have traded that? And the obvious answer, because we know the final result, is of course not. Of course not. Because he got to see the faithfulness of God's provision. He got to see what he had in his possession and used, and what Jesus was able to use to feed this crowd. And so because of the little that he gave, he was able to see Jesus change the world. Bottom line, that's what he was able to see. He was able to see the little that he gave, and he saw Jesus change the world. And now for this little boy, his life would never be the same. It would never be ordinary. And so my question is, what about us? What do you have to give? Once again, I think as I was meditating on verse 5, you know, what are we? Where are we to buy it? God invites us. There's this partnership. And so as we pray this morning, and as you pray for your situation, maybe it's overwhelming. Maybe the question is, what are we going to do about it? And so let's meditate on that this morning, if you would bow your heads with me. Maybe there's a situation that's overwhelming for yourself. Maybe there's a situation that's overwhelming for your friends, your family. Maybe with the little that you have, maybe God can multiply that if you're willing to give it to him. And that's the big question. Are you willing to give it to him? Father, to be honest, we don't have that much to give. In our own lives, we don't have much resources that we can do to change the world or even help that much. But God, we want to join you in what you're doing. Your faithfulness has never changed. You've always been faithful, and you always will be faithful. And Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege of joining you in changing the world. Help us not to see what cannot be done, but with you, all things are possible. Help us to see what can be done through Christ. Thank you, Lord.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. Let's move into intercession this morning, and let's pray for those who are sick with cancer. And I just feel just lots of faith as these prayers are being answered. I mentioned yesterday, but if you look at three transplant, Rayfield's friend, son Jeremy Kong, received a bone marrow match and had transfusion or surgery a few weeks ago. I haven't confirmed that with Rayfield, but just your prayers are being answered. And so we want to see all those names come down. And so let's continue to pray in faith and fervently for them. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for those who are not believers yet, and let's ask the Lord to take the veil off their eyes, and let's lift them up in prayer that they may receive Christ, and let's pray for healing for their illness also. So let's pray.
Salvation, Father, over his body, Lord. We pray for Ken's cousin, Lord, for his cancer. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that would be radically saved and radically healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Sophia's mom. Lord, we just pray that there be no more diabetes. grace over their family, Lord. Lord, we pray for Pete's father, Lord, for his lung cancer in Jesus' name. So,
let's pray for those who have other illnesses, and let's continue to lift them up. You know, they're struggling too, and so let's pray for them. So let's pray.
Lord, we lift up Becky, Lord. We just lift up Cadence, Lord. We just pray, Father, that the we rebuke that, God. Lord, we just pray, Father, for health upon their bodies. We speak life and we speak health, God, upon their bodies. Lord, we pray for Emily Young's IVF treatment, Lord. We just ask God. Child, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you provide, God, that blessing, God. Lord, we pray for that blessing. Lord, we pray for Pastor Sophia. Lord, we pray, Father, for healing over her body now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for healing over her. Lord, we pray for Jimmy. Lord, for Aria's dad. Lord, we just pray for her throat problems. And, Lord, we just ask for Pastor Colin. Lord, we just lift up Samuel. Lord, we lift up Matt and Nate's parents. Lord, we lift up Leanne's father. Lord, we pray for Alan's, for Tracy Whitman's uncle. Lord, we just lift him up right now. Lord, we just pray for healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
Let's begin to lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment and work. And God's been faithfully answering those prayers. And so let's not give up, and let's continue to lift them up. I believe from what I heard, Daniel Park has received an answer to prayer. So, but yeah, names are coming off, and so keep lifting them up, and let's ask God to open doors for jobs. And some of you are recipients of that prayers here in this room. So let's pray fervently for them.
Father, we just ask, Father, for Hyge, God, in these next coming days, Lord, God, as he's going to hear, Lord. God, we just pray that you would persuade, Lord, the minds, Lord, let it be your will, God, that he receives, God. If this is the job, Lord, let it open up, Lord. Let the deal be done. Let it be finished. Let it be sealed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Karen, God. We just ask, God, that, Lord, in this transition, God, Lord, we just pray, Father, God, that would come quickly, Lord. And God, Lord, you've answered so many prayers, God. You've been faithful, God. Lord, just thank you, God, for your blessing, God. Lord Jesus, we pray, God, for those who are going a long time, God, without work, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would, Lord, continue to encourage them and provide for them, Lord, supernaturally, God, that they would experience, God, John chapter 6 story, God, that they would experience, God, just a miracle of a multiplication of provision, God, over them, Lord. We just lift up John and Samuel and Tracy, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, God. Open up the doors, Lord.
Let's intercede for our mission focus today. And Friday, we pray for our local ministries, local churches, and YWAM Hong Kong, and all the different ministries related to that. And so let's lift them up and ask the Lord to truly bless and use our ministries in Hong Kong, and that they would be a light in our city. So let's lift them up right now.
God, we just pray for the churches, God, who are serving you, God. Lord, we pray that they would be strong and powerful, Lord, that they would not be defeated, but Lord, that they would overcome, Lord God, and that they would be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, we lift up SSI and Shanti and Master's Beauty. God, we just pray for the teams there, God. I pray that they would be sending out just incredible leaders, God, of the kingdom, Lord. We just pray, Father, for the outreach, Lord Jesus. We pray for Jimmy and Face to Face, Lord. We pray for Jackson College, for the work, God. We pray that every ministry, God, would receive what they need, God. We pray for Feed the Hungry as they continue to serve, God, and all the sort of situations there, God. We just pray, Father, for all the complex things, Lord. We pray for CSW, Lord. We just pray, Father, for rescue in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let's lift up our SP ministries, and today let's lift up our worship team, our AV team, our welcoming hospitality and barista team, and just got an encouraging email about just the power of the Barista team. I'm not trying to be funny. It's actually just incredible. We got an email that they felt the presence of God through our Barista team, and they wanted to come back and things because of the Barista team. So, you know, your prayers are making a difference. So let's lift them up. Let's lift up every ESP ministry on the screen right now. Let's pray. Father, we just lift up worship team, God. We just pray for your anointing and your presence, God, to come upon the worship team, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that the sound of heaven, God, would move forth, God. We pray for each leader, God, that they would hear from you, God. And Lord, we pray for anointing upon them, Lord. God, we pray for the AV team, Lord. We just pray against distractions, Lord. And God, we just pray, God, that they would just receive the training and the confidence to do things excellently, God. Lord, we just pray, Father, for excellence, God, upon them, Lord. We pray, Father, for the welcoming hospitality team, Lord. We just ask, God, for your blessing over them, Lord. And God, we just pray, God, that we would be a ministry, Lord, that gives love, God, that sets the atmosphere of love and welcome and acceptance and warmth, Lord. And we just pray for verses, Lord. I pray that as they continue to serve, Lord, that would be a blessing, Lord Jesus, over them. Let's pray for our house church that is meeting today, for McCain. Let's just ask the Lord to bless that group, and that they would experience God together. And so let's pray for McCain. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that group, Lord. I pray that as many of us have gone through this church, Lord, we just pray, Father, for your blessing over them in Jesus' name. So God, Lord, we just pray, Father, for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Father, with the little that we have, with our house churches, with our different ministries, God, the small things, Lord, we just pray that you'd be able to feed the multitudes with that, God. And Lord, we just thank you that you invite us to be part of that. And God, even this partnership in prayer, God, we want to see incredible things together as we partner with you, God. Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we just pray as we finish our week, God, that we would experience you in a real, tangible way. God, continue to open our eyes to see that your faithfulness lasts forever. God, so we lift up this time and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to continue to stay and pray and seek the presence of God and just enjoy this time in Him. And we'll see you tomorrow.